Baseball fans love getting the season's pitchers and catchers report. And this year, they'll be happy to know, despite the pandemic, spring training is starting. You may remember last March, COVID-19 shut down those camps and shortened the regular baseball season. This time around, training camps are opening in Arizona and Florida. And let's bring in Mike Pesca. He's Here and Now sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. And Mike, tell us what fans can expect for this year's spring training.
Well, first of all, perhaps the admonition that the league wants you to call it Camping World spring training because everything has been corporatized and now they got a sponsor. Great. But let's just continue calling it spring training, shall we? It's going to look a lot like past spring's training, except that in Florida. So in Arizona, things will be as normal. In Arizona, they're geographically clustered, the teams are. But in Florida, there's West Coast teams and East Coast teams, and they are going to play exhibition games against other teams that are closer by to cut down on travel. And of course, like every other fan experience, there will be spacing, there will be mask requirements. But in terms of the schedule, it's going to look like spring trainings have been before Camping World got involved a couple years ago.
Okay, what about the regular season? They played just 60 games last year.
Yeah, they're going full on 162. There's a quadruple header to start off the season. So baseball is looking at the examples of some other sports like football, which didn't have to miss any games. They're reflecting on their own experience. They're taking account of where vaccine distribution stands and the fact that the start of play can happen with spacing. And they're just trying to have a normal baseball season this year.
Okay, I want to ask you about something else, because players in their leagues are often at odds over a lot of different issues, but they've really had to negotiate and compromise during this pandemic. Let's talk specifically about the NBA. I mean, there are questions about holding the All-Star game this season. What's going on there?
Well, the NBA is going to hold the All-Star game, which is to say not just select All-Stars, which everyone wants because it's a great honor. But the debate this year isn't, you know, should Zach LaVine be the two guard or Fred VanVleet, which is where the NBA wants the debate to be. It's should this even happen at all? It's going on in Atlanta, and Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms has nodded to the fact that the NBA All-Star game is usually a great celebration and a big weekend or a series of days to party. They are not doing that. They're grateful, she says, for the NBA to have the All-Star game there, but don't come to Atlanta to have a party. All-Star players have spoken out about the wisdom of this. LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard have said, why are you, with all the protocols and all the risks and the fact that actual regular games are being canceled? I mean, the Spurs just had to cancel the next three games because they had four players either test positive or are positive. Why are you doing this? But the game will go on. TV ratings and I guess tradition, or maybe it's mostly money, are the driving force behind that decision.
I love how you kind of slid in there. Mostly money. Okay, let's talk about tennis. Yeah, let's talk about tennis. I mean, fans following the Australian Open saw this yesterday on ESPN.
Game set. Naomi Osaka overpowers Serena Williams.
Serena Williams lost to Naomi Osaka in the women's semifinals. There were a limited number of fans in the stadium. And as Williams left the court, she raised her arm to wave and put her hand over her heart. I mean, she's 39 years old. She won the Australian Open 7 times. Are we watching the end of her incredible career?
Well, the counterpoint to that would be she's Serena Williams. So not only is the decision entirely her, I have no doubt that she can rally and win more titles, or at least, I mean, she lost in the semifinals to Naomi Osaka, who herself got into tennis because of the success of Venus Williams and Serena Williams. So we don't know. She's not saying. She was fighting back tears at the press conference, and that led a lot of people who are maybe reading into it to say maybe this is Serena's swan song. But especially in the sport of tennis, people come to those conclusions rather early, and I think out of good faith that fans want the most for their players. But then the players, like Serena has in the past, like Roger Federer, sometimes show an unwillingness to go quietly into that good night, and they come out and they win more championships.
That's true. I mean, taking a step back, as you said, I mean, the ESPN actually said yesterday that the sport is better because of Serena Williams. Naomi has said that she is in tennis due to the success of Williams and her sister Venus. I mean, they have left a huge blueprint set by their example.
Yeah, and there was a debate about who is the greatest athlete ever, and then someone brought up Serena Williams, and it's very hard to rebut that if you just go by the criteria of impact of the sport, dominance of the sport, impact outside the sport. I mean, she is beyond the greatest female tennis player or the greatest female or the greatest tennis player. You know, she's one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen.
She's Serena. Mike Pesca is here, now sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. As always, thank you so much.